Can you say that again?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Mini Jeep Adventures?
No, I have. What?
Would you like me to show you a little bit?
I don't know if I could handle that. What is this? This spectacular thing.
So this guy took a Mini Jeep and basically converted it so that it can drive everywhere. And let me tell you, it has zero.
Oh my God, I actually have seen this. Holy shit.
These are great.
I didn't know what they were at the time, but I saw like some clips of this.
Yeah, this guy like literally breaks his body to do this stupid thing.
Yeah, it is incredible. So what was the antithesis? Like, why did he want to do this? Just for fun?
I think so. He saved up for this Jeep by basically working on a ship. Like a cargo ship for like 3 months or 6 months or something like that.
Good Lord. How much is the tiny Jeep?
Converted it. I think this is only around $5,000 to $7,000.
Okay.
Because it actually has like a two-cylinder engine in it.
Oh, wow.
Which he converted to like something like the max Vespa speed type of thing.
Yeah.
Put into like a Vespa type of deal for better economy.
And those are definitely not the tires that came with it.
No, he upgraded the tires as well. The tires that he had in there were like plastic.
Amazing.
So, like, he upgraded the shit out of this thing. Yeah, it's a really good thing.
How does he keep, like, because he says he's going like 650 miles. Like, there's no way that tank can do that.
No, he had to put, you can see here on the back of it, he has like, a gas tank. And he did map it in such a way so that obviously he wouldn't get stranded or he had like some way to like, get back if he needed to.
Okay.
And there were gas stations between things. But there were a few areas that he was just like in a stretch of desert for a long ass time. And he got lost a lot because GPS doesn't really work on your phone out there.
You need an actual GPS. You need a satellite,
Yeah. So it's probably one of my favorite series on YouTube, to be honest with you.
That's awesome. Like, I have to subscribe to that, dude. Because I've seen clips of that. I don't know what my context is, but I'm going to subscribe now.
Yeah, it's totally worth watching. So 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, though.
It is. I did find this video about Destiny that made me laugh a lot today. I know you keep up, unfortunately, with it.
I unfortunately keep up with the drama. Destiny is like Linkin Park to me.
In what context?
In every context. It's just something that stays relevant, but is a product of a bygone era.
All right, here. Just listen to the first minute of this.
Yes. It reminds me of Zoo Books.
That is completely accurate.
Bungie, were you listening?
They never
to your
were.
Community.
No.
When one of your largest streamers pulls your latest patch notes, and 3/4 of the audience vote trash. It's looking like you're intent on burning the house down once again, turning ash and iron to simply a pile of ash. Now don't get me wrong, some of the buffs to things like Storm and Hawk Moon sound great, but they are simply just the loop for you.
It goes on for that for like 5 minutes.
I love it.
I It's sad how true that is.
It's peak.
Peak. I don't get how, like, I know there's like three people there, and now especially after today's announcement that like Sony's like, yeah, they have disappointed us at every turn.
I mean, you know, I think Bungie has turned into 343 Studios.
Ironic, yes, but
ironic, isn't it, when you think about it?
I can wholeheartedly agree with that, unfortunately.
I don't think it's the same studio. I mean, I think you can ultimately say the same thing as a BioWare, right? BioWare isn't the same studio. It's just a studio name only.
I don't think any of the original people are there. And
yeah,
you know,
I think they've all often gone indie or something like that.
Yeah. I am excited for Exodus, which is like the ex-BioWare employees making a Mass Effect a spiritual successor. Which looks incredible. I have no idea what, you know, the new Mass Effect is going to be, and unfortunately I'll play it. I'm sure I'll get it like on Game Pass or something. But like, how would you bring Mass Effect back? It had a conclusion.
How, like, would you bring Mass Effect back? I guess a prequel.
Like, Shepard died, right? Like, you know, like saving everybody. I mean, the shitty ending aside.
You're Jacob's ladder.
Yeah, God.
There's an olive green, baby.
You know, what scares me is they're not against. They would not. They would do that.
Oh, I know how people think.
Ugh, it was just like, and the last Dragon Age was so bad.
Awful.
I'd never finished it.
It was made by people who were doing a message instead of an actual game.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I that's my opinion. I just don't think they did a good job of.
They had potential. They had all the lore was there, like all of the groundwork for an incredible game existed. They just decided not to. Like, they decided to do their own thing and like completely change the lore and just make it
chaos is a ladder, brother.
I guess so.
Also, I did watch Frankenstein.
Oh my God! What did you think?
I liked it.
Really?
Unironically, I liked it.
Amazing. Okay, I'll give it a shot.
I liked it. I thought it actually was like a cohesive story.
Okay.
Is it scary? No.
Was it trying to be scary?
No. I think they were trying to interpret the books in a different way. I mean, Frankenstein is a story about Mary Shelley who lost her child.
Yeah.
And I think it does a really good way of thinking about it.
Agreed. And I'm sure Oscar Isaac and Christoph Waltz, like, the cast is fucking stacked.
This is like a Netflix trying to get a nomination for an award. They bought this and gave full creative control to
Guillermo del Toro.
I think Benicio, because I was watching Sicario.
No, you have nothing to apologize for. I did that same thing too.
And they gave him like unlimited money, and they're like, this is going to be our way to get like an award type of deal.
And fair enough.
Full creative control. Ultimately, I thought it worked out well. It's a bit of a long movie, though.
I mean, it's better than the new like Bride of Frankenstein movie that's coming out. Please.
Oh my God.
I can't believe they like, I got a, like that. Who wants to see that?
I don't know.
Who fucking I cares?
Who's the audience for that?
I don't know. It looks like a chick film, maybe, but like, maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
It doesn't look like it appeals to anyone.
Is it a chick film? I don't know.
Bride of Frankenstein movie. What's this called?
Yeah, who's it? Tell me the
truth. It's called The Bride.
Okay. Oh, they renamed it.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is starring in it. Or directs it, sorry. It stars Jesse Buckley, Christian Bale, Peter Skarsgård, Annette Bening, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Penelope Cruz.
Skarsgård's in it? Surprised he decided to take that kind of role.
Well.
Is he up for money? Is he hard up for money?
He just plays, like, as of now, he is credited as detective. So, you know, I don't know who this is for.
Who is the audience?
I love Maggie Gyllenhaal. I think she's an incredible actress, right? I actually really do like her. I just don't know if she directed anything else, because a lot of actors are trying to do this, like make the jump to directing, and it doesn't work out. Like, as much as I love Andy Serkis and everything he's been in, he's not a good director. The new Venom movie was fucking awful.
Also, I gotta tell you, I fucking hated House of Dynamite. I am so fucking mad I lost that movie. I had way higher hopes for that. And I started off so strong. And I was like, where are they going to go with this? And it just fucked me up. So mad. So mad. So mad. So disappointed. I'll never get that time back.
She made a movie in 2021 called The Lost Daughter, starring Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman.
All right, cool.
So that was her last movie. I don't even remember hearing about it. So
neither do I. That's fair enough. I also had another question regarding there is a new Godzilla movie coming out.
Really?
Yes. It's Godzilla Zero.
Okay. What was the last one that came out that was really good?
Godzilla
Minus One. So this is like the sequel to Minus One?
Yes. Squeakle.
I mean, I loved Minus One. Minus One was incredible.
I loved Minus One. I thought it was great. I had a lot of hype behind it.
And now I like that they're just upping Godzilla's powers because now he can just like officially just fucking shoot nuclear weapons out of his fucking mouth now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that the 2016 version of him was terrifying.
I didn't mind the 2016 one either.
Yeah, I thought it was really good too.
And then obviously Shin Godzilla, still amazing.
Shin Godzilla, definitely a W.
Which they just released in 4K and it looks incredible.
The speculation it could be another Ghidorah or a new mutant kaiju to fight Godzilla.
Oh.
Which could be good.
So is this a direct follow-up to Missions to Minus One, or is this...
I think so. I think it's a direct follow-up. It feels like it. There's not a lot of details in this. It's just kind of like Toho's kind of keeping it close to the chest on this
one. Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
Called Minus Zero?
Yeah, it's 0.0.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
2026. So, all right.
Yeah.
39th film in the Godzilla franchise and the 34th produced by Toho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. I like it all right. You know, I like it all right because it's like it's going to be pretty decent.
I mean, they got Yamazaki back. So.
Yep. Absolutely. And there's also some things. I mean, they did a Godzilla anime that was like 13-ish or more episodes. Netflix produced it.
Oh, I remember an old animated series back in the day.
Well, let me tell you, they made it so cumbersome to get through this. Like, you have to pay attention to what's going on. It's like very like. They talk a lot of like antimatter and matter and things like they made a sci-fi Godzilla that is like layered in science. It's very
really
like, it's very hard to like give it like you have to give it your full attention. You can't just half-ass it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like I totally get it. It's like a And like you, I think you either would love it or hate it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel. In terms of like being able to enjoy it, it's not that it's like a slog. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like they've taken a different approach on exploring Godzilla in a way that actually is like, oh yeah, like it could be like that. And like there's like other robots in it that he fights. It's like this one robot that they built. Is from the like one of the original Godzillas from like the 1950s.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like they add some layers to this because I had to like watch a video to explain it to me because I'm brain dead. I'm really brain rotted. By the way, have you also seen The Promised Land on YouTube?
I don't think I have. No.
Okay. So Amy found this, and then I will show you a trailer. It's like very office. Like, here we go. Okay, hold on.
I'm trying to log into my Apple TV and I forget the password. I never have to use my Apple password because I got a face.
Word from the Lord.
Oh, God.
You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.
I don't remember any eagles.
My feet are bleeding.
Just no.
When God called me from the burning bush, I said yes right away. Okay, maybe not right away, but actually I did say yes.
Let me get this straight. All of these people, they all look to you for leadership?
That's right. Public speaking has always been my strong suit.
When I say promised, you say land. Promised!
When I spoke to Pharaoh on Moses' behalf, it went pretty well. Besides the plagues.
Oh no!
I need some advice.
From me?
No, Miriam. From the Lord.
The baby my mother pushed down a river became a political revolutionary.
I have spoken.
So now I get to take notes while the men are talking.
You are an inspiration for women everywhere. Don't touch me, please.
I have the renewed covenant and the new laws for us to follow.
Why did God choose me?
It is easy to be popular. It is harder to lead.
I have sinned. But God chose me anyway. It's not about being worthy. It's about being faithful to Him.
What a wonderful day!
Something feels different. In a good way.
So that was all on YouTube.
So it's a mockumentary, like, set in like biblical times. I mean, that's that's definitely a nice hook.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I thought it was a pretty good series. And there's just no commercials, no ads, anything like that. It's just you get to like see it as it is. I think it's worth your time. It's a good investment of like seeing a comedy, which we're not seeing too many of. Minus, I guess, like. The Paper.
Yeah, which I have my own problems with The Paper.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it had been its own thing instead of like trying to be under the shadow of The Office could be better.
Yeah.
But I have the issues with it. Like the comedy is a little like it's got its moments, but I'm like, ah, okay.
I mean, yeah, and they had to bring like a character back just like, I mean, I love The Office for its time.
Yes, absolutely. But I don't think you can make it today.
Yeah. And it was great at the moment, but like, come on.
I'll lie down.
Can't do it.
I just don't think you can recreate the magic. It's just tough.
Agreed.
So on my list, I have that. I have been watching the Murdochs, which I thought would be better. It's kind of mid. They kind of try to make him to be more of a sympathetic character than he really is. Which have you seen? Do you know the background of that?
No, sorry. Okay. I'm trying to do three things at once. Go ahead. No, I shouldn't be doing this when I was just trying to get into my Apple TV and it was being a pain in the ass.
So the Murdaw is a documentary and they recreated like a dramatization of that, of a gentleman who was in the South who was basically taking his clients' lawsuit money, saying they got less money than what they were paid, and then basically stealing that from them.
Really?
In his own lifestyle. And he murdered he executed his son and wife. So allegedly what they had thought was that he was cheating on his wife. He was addicted to opiates. He had come out and said he was doing as many as like a few, like enough milligrams to kill someone. Who wasn't like heavily addicted. And the jury eventually convicted him of murder. Because there's just nobody else who could have killed him. It was quite honestly a very interesting story. But they try to make him more of like a sympathetic character when he's not. He deserves no sympathy.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah,
he was a very fucked up dude. And he tried to like have this other guy kind of take the blame for him for like a few other things. There's quite a bit more to the story than what they're showing, but it's kind of like a very interesting, like you ever, there's a podcast on it totally worth.
Okay, what's the podcast called?
Blood in the Water. It's by Mandy Matinee.
Okay.
I'll link it to you.
Please and thank you.
Yeah. Well, I looked at the podcast.
Good to know.
The podcast. There you go.
Awesome. I will take a look. Well, let's get into this because
let's do it. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, right. We're getting a appearance by Sean hopefully very soon. And we kind of wanted to talk about this new show that's come out very recently, that's already getting good reviews. And it is by one of our favorites, Vince Gilligan, creator of or in charge of most of the end of X-Files after the first five seasons, which, you know, good and bad, but did a lot for X-Files. And then Breaking Bad, obviously. And now he's doing a new sci-fi show called Pluribus. Steve, what do you know about this so far?
I actually don't know anything. I haven't seen any trailers or anything.
Really? You have no idea what it's even about.
No, I have no idea. I purposely did not look at it. I've seen people post a little bit about it, but I was like, you know what? I have other things I want to finish first before I get into it.
Okay. Well, I know enough, so I'm not going to say anything. But without knowing anything, what are your initial, what are you hoping for?
Well, do you know what the show's about?
I do. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, you can.
How much do you want me to say?
You say as much or as well as you want.
Okay.
Do your choice.
I mean, it's kind of a cross between Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Puppeteers, very down to earth. I don't want to give too much away because you'll find out most of it in the first 10 minutes. But the basic idea is that everyone in the world becomes part of a collective mind. Right? And a hive mind. And there are 11 people in the world who are immune to it. And you'll get more of the reasoning why later, but the main character of the show is one of the people who's immune to it.
Okay.
And what she is going through, which is actually a very humanizing, you know, like, I want to say too much because I know a little bit more because I've been reading reviews on it. And now we finally have Sean. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I couldn't get the fancy Riverside background going.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was going to put myself in parts unknown, but
I'm sorry it wasn't working.
Yeah. It said it was too much for my hardware to handle, which honestly I've never heard that before.
That's never
happens to me.
Interesting.
Ready. Yeah.
Are you using Chrome?
Yes.
Okay. Then I don't know. That's weird. Either way, we were just discussing Pluribus. Because that was what we're going to watch this evening. And Sean, I think you even know less than Steve. Do you know anything about the show now that you've, we talked about it earlier today?
Only what you told me on Discord.
And, okay. Yes. E Pluribus Unum.
One of them.
Yes. Okay. One for many or something like that?
Yeah, so Pluribus is probably...
Now, Sean, I have a question before we begin Pluribus. Can I finally bring a class action lawsuit against my state to bring back Pornhub?
Is it currently in the state of Virginia?
Yes, they are. They require you to verify your identity.
So you can look at Virginia's?
Yes.
I mean, you could just do what I do, which is get on hashtag not sponsored NordVPN, base yourself out of Central Europe.
It seems like the way. I just wanted to get some clout.
Oh, yeah, everything's fucking legal here. Be able to access any of the good ones. The bad ones, to be honest.
Whenever I visit... I don't really watch porn when I visit my mom. So I guess it's not an issue. But I know North Carolina.
Press X to doubt.
Well, I don't watch it all the time. I've watched porn room. Like, but I don't like. It's not like I need to like log into a computer.
Did any of us at any point watch porn all the time around our parents? Because that seems like there's perhaps another issue there.
That's fair.
But
like, that's so, I can't believe that the state law, like the, none of those identity verification things are safe.
No.
Like, speaking of porn.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about porn. We can talk about porn.
I just remembered this is in my desk drawer. Some of the Manor Road vintage porn.
Oh, amazing.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to put it in a family photo album. I know.
It's been passed down from generation to generation at this point. Oh, that's a nice one. YouTube. That's classic.
I got a lot of that one. Well, I don't think any of the horse pictures are in here, so that's good.
Ha! Well, that's
there great. Are. Did you know that a horse penis weighs 11 pounds? Oh my God! There is
erect.
yeah, what are you ready for this?
No, I don't think so. Oh man!
Oh yeah.
Speaking of virginias. Anyway, so things have clearly backslid without the girls around.
No, we were having intellectual discussions.
Yeah,
I think this is the way it should be.
Listen, if we keep this up, we can get sponsored by the UAE. No problem.
They are so against everything porn and anything the fun, really. I mean, they're building a theme park that no one's going to go to.
Is slave labor not fun to you? They think it is.
It's like a pastime.
To be clear, slave labor is not fun to me.
No, but I know. Yes.
They find it very fun, apparently.
They really do. I don't know how many people have died building their stadiums, and you see that they're building a Six Flags, right? I don't know why, like, who's going to go to this.
I mean,
I don't know.
Who the fuck you can afford to go?
I have one story I need to interrupt you for.
Okay, please.
And then we can start. Okay.
Please go.
This is critical.
I agree.
Did you know Joseph Bonaparte was the older brother of Napoleon Bonaparte and one of his first supporters, right? So he was instrumental in the overthrow of the Directory and the installation of Napoleon as the eventual emperor of France, right?
Okay.
After the war of the Third Coalition, Joseph was installed by his brother as the king of Naples and Sicily. However, 2 years later, Joseph was replaced by the king, by Joachim Murat, and Napoleon appointed him instead as the king of Spain and the Indies. After the defeat of France in the War of the Six Coalition, Joseph abdicated the throne of Spain and fled Europe to the United States. He settled in Bordentown, New Jersey, where he would live until 1832. Allegedly, while hunting in the Jersey Pine Barrens, Joseph spotted strange tracks which led him to a mysterious creature which hissed at him before taking flight into the woods. Joseph told the story to others in New Jersey who had told him he had spotted the legendary Jersey Devil. Bonaparte allegedly searched for the Jersey Devil multiple times after the fact, but he never saw it again.
Wow.
Yes.
It's real, people.
It's real.
If the son, if the brother of Napoleon Bonaparte says it's true, it has to be true.
The King of Cups, baby.
I think Billy Hitler lived in New Jersey at one point, too.
Oh, really? Good for him.
Yeah, he would have been Hitler's nephew. Yeah. The Hitler.
I know, yeah, but
the main one.
Why didn't they change the name at that point? They knew it was kind of like the context.
Well, I think they did, but also all the male descendants of that line got vasectomies after the war. They were like, we're ending this. Done.
Yep. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah.
We apologize, guys. That's very noble of them. Although they probably got some pressure. Interesting. All right, Pluribus. So you know,
yeah, only sterilized people were Nazis. How do you feel about that now? Huh? Wasn't it a little bit more Nazi of them to sterilize themselves? Anyways.
That's not a bad point.
Did not see that coming.
So Russell Crowe looks like a great Hermann Göring. Okay, we can stop talking about Nazis now.
Sorry.
I mean, he looks like he kind of ate Hermann Göring, but, like, you know.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Yeah, Pluribus. All right.
Pluribus.
So, you only know that it's a show by Vince Gilligan. What do you expect?
To be honest with you, I don't have any expectations. I'm like, you know, obviously, I probably haven't seen all of the X-Files. It's been quite a while. I've watched quite a bit of X-Files. I've watched all of Breaking Bad. I've probably gone through Breaking Bad, at least completely binged it two or three times. And then,
sure,
you know, I've seen certain episodes like Ozymandias and some of the other ones in season 5, The Fly. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of those episodes many, many times. I expect something well written, well thought out, kind of like darkly funny, and you know, perhaps a bit fucked up, but like not to the level that I'm disgusted, I guess.
Interesting. Okay.
Well. I mean, like, the first few episodes of season 1 of Breaking Bad are pretty gross, especially once they melt that guy. But,
yeah.
Like, maybe that's, like, the top. Maybe nothing discussion.
Fair enough.
We'll see.
I guess. All right. What about you, Steve? Any expectations?
I do not have any expectations. I'm excited to
fair enough.
See where we get.
Well, yeah, I'm glad we're going to this blind. Blind. All right. Without further ado, the pilot, season 1, episode 1 of the new Vince Gilligan show, Pluribus. Where is it? Here we go. All right, let's start over here. Sean, how does that compare to your expectations?
Okay, so I wasn't 100%, like, again, I literally had no idea this existed until you told me about it a few hours ago. But also, kind of knowing Vince Gilligan enough, I knew it had a possibility of veering hard into sci-fi.
yeah.
And the opening of it with, like, all those, you know, the satellite dishes from Contact, whatever that's actually called. Kind of telegraphed that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, you know, kind of had my mind open, my guard down a little bit for something kind of weird. I have no idea where this is going to go. I really like overall the idea of it. I mean, it did remind me a little bit of, like, I don't know, like the Leftovers meets a zombie movie.
Yeah. Kinda,
kind of in a way, but very interested to see what happens with it. I think you can take it in a lot of directions. I think the whole idea of we cooked ourselves with something that somebody told us to do, set us the recipe for, leaves open the possibility that it stays entirely earthbound. We could possibly meet other people from other, you know, galaxies or parts of the universe.
Yeah.
Who knows? Also, there are 11 other people, or there are 11 total people that are not part of the mind or whatever.
Yeah, I guess immune to the virus or whatever.
It's not a virus. It's not a virus.
You don't think so?
No. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, honestly, it's a weird setup.
It feels like this could have been a hour-long episode of X-Files or Twilight Zone. There's a way to do this where it's a one-off, right?
Oh, like, 100%. There is, like, Final Destination was a X-Files episode that they decided to make into a movie.
Yeah, so, like...
Like, I have no doubt this could be the same thing. They're like, why don't we just flesh this out?
Yeah, no, but it feels super cool. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I'm also like very like I wonder. I mean, there's so many like random little things that happen, yeah. Like Dr. Wen trying to like kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. What was that about?
Well, you know? I think yeah. My guess is he didn't think like somehow she didn't get infected. Like that's the like immediate you know, that's happened in the beginning, right? They kissed each other to spread the thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's like, wait, why are you not like us? So we tried to spread it, like the you know. Because my guess is whatever they put, you know, whatever, like, that's what they put into the planes to spread it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how many people died? Like, anyone who is not in a safe location or place is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Maybe they'll address that. I have no idea. But...
I mean, I don't think they really care. But I mean, when people die, do they all feel it too? Like, is that something...
Like, what about
death experienced? Yeah.
What about oh my god, I can't even remember her name now. Carol's wife.
Mm.
Helen?
Yeah, that sounds right.
What about her? Like, did she like? Did they feel it when she died? Was she part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what are your initial thoughts? Oh.
Steve is part of the hive mind now.
Yeah, we cannot. That was just all garbled. You might want to leave and rejoin. There you go. All right. While Steve, he's.
Steve is going to be replaced by the Secretary of the Interior. We'll be speaking on his behalf.
Better?
Enthusiastically speaking on behalf of Steve as the Secretary of the Interior. Not really.
I am very scared right now.
Are you?
No.
Lay it on me, Steve. What do you think?
I was just wondering if they're going... This has like a very like I Am Legend feel to it.
Kind of.
You know, like, and is this a more akin to zombies, or is this more akin to like a fallout type of thing? So like does everybody just stop working and work as a collective?
I think so. I think, right, like they said they're going to clean up.
Is this supposed to be grim dark?
I honestly don't know. Like, that's what interesting. Like, it's a trope that has been done before.
Yeah.
Like, hive mind collective, join us type thing. Like, that's all, like, but it's Vince Gilligan. So, like, realistically, the making drugs to get yourself out of debt has also been done before. But Vince Gilligan did it better. So I'm curious to see what they do. But I think it's open to, like, it could do anything. And I have no way of predicting what direction they'll go. What do you think? Like, Steve, what do you...
Maybe, like, a Stepford Wives type of thing going on with that? Like, are they going to go with this type of thing? Or, I mean,
We also...
There's just a lot of nods to, like, Stephen King...
Oh yeah,
being like the primary thing, which not a knock on that. I think it's good. I'm just trying to figure out like what's the thread that's supposed to be like.
Yeah,
like so I totally get the alcoholic trope. Totally get everything. Like, what's the unique part about the show that's supposed to be interesting?
Right. Well, I do think Vince Gilligan, and you know, this is the best example of show don't tell that is really missing from modern television and movies that Vince Gilligan does so well. Nowhere in this entire show did anybody say alcoholic. And yet we know.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. Not being spoon-fed.
Spoon-fed, yeah.
Spoon-fed.
It was actually interesting. Jamali, I forget her, from most famous for The Good Place. Did an interview a couple weeks ago, and during the interview, she mentioned that the reason TV is there, it's not a, you are noticing TV be dumbed down, TV and movies be dumbed down, and that's not on accident. That is, it's not the writers, it's on purpose. It is because producers have decided that they are now fighting their biggest market, like, fight is not other movies or other or productions, it's the phone. So they are assuming we are all on our phones while watching anything. So they don't want, so they are rejecting, actively rejecting plots that are too complicated.
I get that.
which I think is one of the most terrifying.
I mean, Netflix has been doing that for years.
I agree, but I'm glad there are shows like this that don't do that.
Right.
And you know, like Pitt comes back in January. Which I'm excited about because that show didn't pull any punches and it's getting aired uncensored on TNT, which is insane.
And I also like, you know, it, what they did well with that whole thing is that they recreated the Battle of Helm's Deep in that show.
They kind of did. I mean, listen, I have no idea what direction they're going to take this in. And I think that's why it's intriguing.
Yeah. Matt, how many episodes do you think you would give it to get you somewhere?
Breaking Bad took a while, right?
Yeah, it definitely took a while.
I'm honestly intrigued already. Like, I want to keep watching. There is episode two. And I want to keep watching it. I'm probably, as soon as we're done, I'm going to go watch it.
I feel like Breaking Bad kind of hit its stride. I mean, I'm trying to remember when I started watching. I think I started watching Breaking Bad as season three was airing.
Okay.
And so, like, I binged one and two. So this is probably my little bit of a bias coming through. But I feel like one is kind of a slog. And not because it's bad. It's just, you know, you're being pulled rapidly into this, like, guy's life that's, like, rapidly deteriorating in different ways. And you're getting to know all these people. You're trying to figure out, is Walt actually the antagonist? Is he the protagonist? Are these guys like from like the cartels, like Tuco and all that? Are they going to be part of this long term? I feel like kind of when Gus comes in is kind of when Breaking Bad really starts moving. You know, so kind of with that in mind, I would give it at least a full season.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it's one of those things where Vince Gilligan's like, here's the whole story that I'm going to tell. This is four seasons. Yeah. This is five seasons.
He like, said in an interview, four seasons is what he expects.
Okay.
Which intrigues me. And I'll get to a couple points in a second. But it intrigues me. I love this idea. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I think it could really go some interesting places. I am a little, not skeptical. I am intrigued to see how they can do four seasons of it. Now, granted, we don't know how many episodes are in a season, right? Is it 6, 12, whatever? But it's kind of like that Walking Dead syndrome, right? The first 6 hours, the first season of Walking Dead is great.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then there's a very, very steep fall off because there's a reason zombie movies are only 90 minutes, right? Like, I don't
so much with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do they stretch this for four? Now, again, I trust Vince Gilligan. I do. And what intrigues me about this, and this is kind of, you know, what you were talking about, Sean, is this really the antithesis of Walter White. And what I mean by that is, like, Walter White develops and changes and has to adapt over six seasons. And you see him become a different person. Carol had to adapt immediately to the world changing. So it's not like his world changed, so he becomes a different person. The world around her changed, so she's got to fucking figure out what's going on and what she's going to do. Which I find intriguing. Again, it feels like things are going to happen much quicker than they did in Breaking Bad. But I don't know. This is just me kind of like analyzing what's going on.
Do you want to know how many episodes are in the first season?
Yeah, I would absolutely like to know.
Maybe this is an Apple thing because Severance was also 9, but it's going to be 9.
Okay.
I can see that. I can see where that can go.
Realistically, we're looking at between 30, you know, 35 and 40 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not terrible. I think they could, again, I have no idea what's going to happen, and it could completely shift next season, right? Because the first season didn't have Gus. The first season didn't have any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. We could be talking about a completely different issue. It could be like they fixed everyone on Earth, and now there's an alien invasion. Fixed, I don't know. Well, let's talk about this, actually. Mm. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think this is something that can be cured, quote unquote, or fixed? Like, does Carol fight this? Because she obviously doesn't want to join the collective, and I don't think I would either.
I don't know if Cure's right.
Who's to say she can?
That's true. That's also true.
Yeah, I don't know if Cure's right either. She might be able to think about build out the origin of it or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on if they're making this into like a character show. She's driving the show, or is the show like about this collective? Because you can, I hate this, not to be like you kind of write yourself into a specific corner when you're saying like everybody is now a collective except for 11.
Yeah.
So where do you go with that?
I think it's got to stay grounded, right? It's got to be about Carol, because like that's what made Breaking Bad compelling, was the character. Like it's a character changing, it's a character adapting to what's happening to him. And I think that's where Vince Gilligan really, really flourishes. You know, it was true in his episodes of X-Files, it was true in Breaking Bad, and it's true in this. I think. I mean, I only have one episode to base it on. I will watch the second one when we're done, and I will watch the third one on Friday when it comes out, because I'm hooked. I will at least give it more time before I decide. Because, don't get me wrong, how do you follow Breaking Bad? How do you follow what is widely regarded as the greatest show ever on television? Like,
I feel like he's a bit different than some of the people who've come out with like the prestige, like revolutionary prestige television shows.
Sure.
And I feel like it's almost like, he reminds me, I'll say this. He reminds me more of Rian Johnson than J.J. Abrams.
I can see that, yeah.
But it seems like he's got this, like, clearly he's a personality, right? But he's not like, you know, like David Chase is like defined by The Sopranos, right? Like,
yeah,
that is who he is, and that he's, I hope that he accepts it at this point, but
yeah,
he's never going to surpass that. In the same way, I believe David Chase, I know he was involved with Boardwalk Empire, and I love Boardwalk Empire. Boardwalk Empire was never going to be The Sopranos in terms of the like cultural ubiquity, in terms of the zeitgeist. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Steve. I think that like that, but like that's kind of him. Whereas Vince Gilligan, maybe it's just my perception, like kind of coming up the way he did, he seems like a bit more off the beaten path. He seems like somebody who's a bit more adaptable. And like, if you think about it, to take it back to David Chase, Sopranos, yeah, there's a lot going on. It's a mob show. Boardwalk Empire, it's a mob show. Like, he's staying within that lane. And I think that like Vince Gilligan's just, maybe it's just an Albuquerque show, but like, you know, but like, but to be serious about it, like he seems like someone who can pull all these different genres. Yeah. And, you know, this feels like, the more I think about it, I'm like, this feels like the Twilight Zone to me, like old school Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I really like that.
And, you know, Twilight Zone was the influence on the X-Files, which he worked on for a number of years. And, you know, it's how, like, the idea for Breaking Bad even happened.
And, like another person, like Matthew Weiner. I know Matthew Weiner worked on Sopranos, but he's never going to, like, get past Mad Men.
No. No.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. Mad Men's one of my favorite shows. But he's never going to surpass that. People are always going to be like, yeah, this guy created Mad Men.
Of course.
Whereas Vince Gilligan, like, I feel like he's just, like, kind of, like, a little more on the down low and can kind of do... You know, clearly he's got that Apple TV money getting thrown at him now, which is nice.
Sure.
You know, and in the same way that, like,
it looks big. It looks, you know, it looks great.
I love walking out of a movie, TV show, whatever, when I know that it's going to continue on and having no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
No idea. Because that's like, I'm someone who can't sit still with it. I will go read spoilers. I will read the books. I will read the Wikipedia's at the books to kind of understand. I just like knowing it doesn't ruin the experience for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
But when something's really not dealt to me, like in the same way that like I have no idea where Severance is going, I trust that they know where Severance is going.
I hope so.
Show's going.
Agreed.
I'm like walking out of season one, no idea. Walking out of season two, no idea. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with this. As long as it doesn't turn into like Will Smith like punching an alien in the face, I think I'm good with that.
Somehow I doubt that. I hope not. I mean, to be fair, yeah. Like I said, I trust Vince. I'm a little worried that the entire, you know, the media blitz around this show is all from the creator of Breaking Bad, right? Like, we get it. It's Vince Gilligan. Let it kind of be. Like, do you think this show will be well received? And will it be well received because it's Vince Gilligan, the guy who created Breaking Bad? Or will this show stand on its own?
I think it has the possibility to stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about it kind of like in terms of, it's like when a band has like a really successful first album.
Yeah.
Like the commentary is often, one of the reasons why a first album is often so good is because this is their life's work up until that point.
Yep. Yep.
The sophomore album is the one that gives a lot of people trouble. That's where you kind of have to like, okay, we're doing this in a shorter time frame. We're kind of trying to change and build on what we did the last time around. And what I like about this, which I often like about some of my favorite bands who have kind of shifted genres or shifted style or whatever,
yeah,
is they've had a really successful album, and the next one, they do something totally fucking different.
Yeah.
And I like Radiohead, great example.
Yeah.
I think that is so creative, and I think that to the extent people are saying that this is like the follow-up to Breaking Bad, or his follow-up to Breaking Bad, I think they're going to shake that pretty quickly. If people like it, I think that gets dropped pretty fast because he's going to make this its own thing.
Yeah, fair enough. Steve, same question. Do you think this will stand on its own or will forever be in Breaking Bad shadow?
Yeah, I didn't have a single thought of it like being associated with Breaking Bad. I think you might, if you care that much to, you know, research and who's the showrunner and everybody else to
kind sure. of see it.
But I think this will be its own thing. And, you know, if you had to ask yourself a question, I think a good relevant question for both of us was, when was the last relevant sci-fi TV show? You know what I mean? And to me, I guess that would be Westworld.
Yeah, I was thinking about Westworld watching this too.
Yeah. I really think that was it. Like that was like an impactful sci-fi show. I don't
people talking about, yeah.
I don't know how. I know this just made the news recently. They're talking about it, but I don't know what the overall, like, is this a phenomenon yet? Or is this like the level, which I don't know. Is this the breakout hit for Apple TV or whatever?
Might be too early.
That's true.
You know, Apple TV has some sleepers. Honestly,
I 100% agree.
You know, Silo's been great. There's been a bunch of shows they've put out that I've really been like, wow, this is really good. I really like Sunny. But I don't think some of those shows have really caught on beyond people who like have talked about. Like, I don't think you'll run into too many people who will be like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about for the show.
But the same reason, the same way, look at Silence. I mean,
yeah.
And that was gone for a while too. It wasn't just like they had a good season. It was like they had a good first season,
and then COVID
gone for a long time, and then it exploded.
Yeah,
and you know, give it time. Oh, one other random thing that I thought I caught it during the episode, but I did make note of it. So George R. R. Martin, famous other Albuquerque resident,
sure.
Carol's book that she's like at that signing for in the beginning is called The Winds of Wicaro. And I'm wondering if that's like a, not like a slight at George R. R. Martin, but I feel like that's at least a very firm wink.
Yeah, I would agree. And but I mean, I do, her book is like what? It's schlock. It's women's porn.
It's schmaltzy. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a beach romance novel. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a corsair, not a pirate. No. Do you know no the difference? Because I don't. Keep the people going.
Oh my god! I don't. You know, I'm intrigued. I'm going to keep watching. Well, let's talk about, like, we talked about kind of like the show in abstract, and we've talked about, you know, Vince Gilligan, but let's give it up for, oh my God, I have to look up her name now.
Carol.
Rhea Seehorn. Rhea. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Yeah. R-H-E-A-S-E-E-H-O-R-N. Who did it a great job. I think all the acting is great. It fit, you know, I immediately knew who these characters were. I am intrigued to see how they, like, how each character that we meet from now on, most of the characters we meet from now on, embody everybody. Because that's a challenge, right? It worked kind of in the pilot because it was very limited, but I'm very interested to see how actors and actresses play everybody.
Well, and like what, I don't know, does the virus or whatever you want to call the RNA sequence that all these people got infected with, does that affect people who are like so incredibly like intellectually or physically disabled to the point where they're like if you have someone who's like non-responsive,
yeah,
conscious but non-responsive, are they like awakened by the hive, or is this something where it's just like they just like kind of are still non-responsive but they go along with whatever the hive is wanting?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Maybe that'll address that. I hope they address also, the people who died. Well, it's obvious that like they have a collective memory or collective consciousness because the kids knew how to drive. They knew where the key was. So obviously
that was hilarious. I was like, these are the most helpful children I've ever seen in my life.
Right? But obviously when Carol became part of it, like she was absorbed, right? They had her memories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the kids knew that like the key was there. So does that mean like everybody on Earth knows how to like perform surgery now?
But does that mean that they can't? Because you have someone that's got like a messed up hand. You can't.
That's true.
Right. Like you can't grip right. You got tennis elbow. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen now.
Did everybody just get downloaded like Neo in the Matrix? Can they all do Kung Fu?
Right.
The entire hive.
That would be terrifying. Like if everyone is the most highly trained, like in everything now, because they just all have that access to that knowledge.
That's how I felt when Wikipedia came out when we were in high school.
Forbidden knowledge.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So let's talk about this in like conceptually.
Hmm.
How scared would you be in the same situation? What would your reaction be? Drinking is probably inaccurate, right?
I mean, it probably a mixture of panic and extreme depression.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I also wonder if my opinion would shift if I had a loved one. Mm-hmm. Because not only is this a traumatic thing happening to her and she has to witness it, she also witnessed her wife die. Her partner, we don't know if they were married,
mm-hmm.
Die in front of her because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So she already has resentment for whatever's happening. Are any of the other 11 like okay with it because their like husband or wife is part of it? And do they still have to live with them, right? And they're still that person. They're just everybody else too.
Ew.
Or I know, right? That's weird. But apparently they're all in, like, they're all for it. They all love it. And how does the people separate it? Like this person who's like my spouse, like if I, you know, if my fiance was like this, I don't know what I would do. Right? Because it's like you have not only you've loved me for years, but you've also committed mass genocide. You know, you've murdered people, you've raped people. All those people are part of this too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So how do they filter out the good and the bad?
Well, I'm trying to work this out in my head so maybe I can talk it out.
No, again, these are all very conceptual.
Well, I'm about to get philosophical.
Of course, let's do it.
All right, so I don't attribute this to Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've seen him talk about it a lot. It's usually when he's talking to somebody who asks him about, like, you know, God.
Sure.
And it's the notion that if God is all powerful, then God is not all good. And if God is all good, then God's not all powerful. Because bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
And in the same way, terrible things happen to people. And God ostensibly doesn't stop that from happening, right? So it's like, with the hive, I'm wondering if it's like, you know, they're not all necessarily all powerful, right? But it's like this happiness. Like, it's the whole mask of like joy or happiness or whatever their emotion they're showing.
And it's only them saying they're happy. We don't really know if that's true.
Right. What is happiness? It's the moment before you want more happiness.
Yeah, but what if you had unlimited happiness? There was nothing else. Happiness, like, only matters. Terrible. Happiness only matters if it has, like, something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's exactly what happened at the end of The Good Place. An infinite amount of the best things ever mean the best things ever don't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Your vacation isn't as fun if it's your entire life.
I don't know. I'm not gonna.
Sorry. I...
If I ever get to the point where my entire life is a vacation, I will give you my commentary. I'm not gonna jump on that one yet.
All right, that's fair. I'm going all philosophical.
I'm just fucking with you.
I know.
But yeah, no, it's like, but I don't know. To me, it feels like they're not. There's got to be something extremely insidious about the intent behind whatever's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we'll find out.
It just doesn't seem like, oh, everybody's happy now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not interesting. Whereas there's no conflict. Well, there's conflict there, but it's not. It's so easily passed off. I feel like there's got to be something significantly darker going on.
Yeah, I agree.
And I wonder if there are limits to, like, how certain people are part of the hive. Like, is one person? Is there, like, a queen bee, for example, that actually has far more autonomy than everybody else, or has control over others, or
exactly? What, you know? We don't know. They say you're your own person. But I did read something interesting just now, because you know how Vince Gilligan is really good at that elevator pitch.
Mm.
And he has that one sentence that describes his show that, like, instantly hooks you. And I think he's done it again, because, like, you know, for Breaking Bad, it was a genius chemistry teacher goes from Mr. Chips to Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The pitch, apparently, for this show is the most miserable person on earth must save the world from happiness.
Hell yeah. Nihilistic super. I like it.
But is it really nihilist, though? That's another philosophy. Is this show nihilist? I don't think so far.
No, not yet.
No, but it's the character's philosophy.
Oh, absolutely. It's Carol's philosophy. Why do you think she keeps writing these books? Just to make money. Like, she knows what people will read.
But she keeps smoking, right?
Yeah. I'm intrigued. All right. Anyone else? Do we miss anything on these topics? We talked for a very long time.
No, I think we covered just about anything we could.
Fair enough. Sean, anything from you?
Just looking at the Wikipedia page, and the one that we haven't mentioned is Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right, okay.
Twilight Zone are the two heavy influences on this.
I'd also throw a little Michael Crichton in there with Prey. And
Even a little Outbreak. And, like, a little
Outbreak. Absolutely. Things in there, for sure.
Yeah.
Contact.
Fucking Contact. Winning! Oh god, okay, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. I won't look at the summary for episode 2 yet.
I will say that Vince Gilligan is increasingly looking like a religion professor that I had in college.
How's that make you feel?
He was awesome.
Oh,
so cool. To go on a little bit of a tangent, like, I'm very atheist, other than my extreme belief in ghosts. which sure. Is not necessarily God. So I guess I can be an atheist and still believe in ghosts.
I think so. Like, because there might be a scientific explanation for energy. Well, no, like, what is a ghost but leftover energy? Like, you can go to like Auschwitz and see and feel a vibe, right? There's definitely something to.
You go to Auschwitz for the vibes.
Someone please clip that.
For the vibes.
That's interesting.
What I'm saying is there's probably some sort of like reasonable, like scientific explanation we don't understand yet that could explain ghosts. I'm not against that belief.
To your point, my uncle once randomly was at his house in outside Atlanta, and he's like, I've been going through some body. He's got a real thick southern accent. He's totally deaf, so he's always screaming. he's like, I was going through some old boxes of his dad's. So he's my aunt's husband, right? He's not like we're not blood related. I never knew his dad. His dad died before I was born. He's like, I wanted to show you something. I took it into the shop and I got it cleaned up and polished and it actually works. And I was like, okay, what you got for me? And so he opens up this little box. And there's a little box inside the little box. And he hands me a Nazi officer's Luger.
Oh my god.
The fucking like the eagle swastika emblem on the grip. He's like, hold it. And I'm like, okay. Hold it. And I was like, dude, this thing has some really dark energy to it, and I'm gonna hand this back to you. Historically it is super interesting. And I'm glad you showed it to me. But I don't ever want to touch that again.
So I lost you there for a second. What was that?
Oh, I was like, I told him, I was like, it's really cool, but
yeah,
you know, historically, and I'm glad you showed it to me. I don't ever want to touch that thing again. get it away from me.
Yeah.
You know, anyways, that's like this whole weird aside that I'm making, but anyways, back to my religion professor. He looks like,
yes, please. Again.
So first day of class, we're going through the syllabus. I think it was being in my sophomore year of college. It wasn't like a huge lecture or anything. If anything, it was probably like 25 or 30 students. And it was the Bible as literature was the course. And the teacher's like, okay. So he's like, give you a little background about me, your professor. He's like, I grew up here, did that. He's like, yes, I am religious. I'm a Presbyterian. But we're not really going to go into that. And actually, I just want you all to know, if you look at the syllabus, we're not doing... For those of you other Christians out here, we're not doing New Testament. I remember like there's like looks of these like kids in the class who like were like pissed.
Oh.
I remember there was like one kid who like raised his hand. He's like, eh.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, can you hear me? Sorry. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, now I can.
Now again.
I heard, okay. I remember one kid that raised his hand.
One kid raised his hand. He's pissed. He's like, why are we not doing New Testament? Come on. Why are we going to learn? Why are we going to read about Jesus? He's like, look. This is the Bible as literature. This is more like English than religion or philosophy. He's like, all right. He's like, and Jesus, he's like, I say this as a Christian, is a one-dimensional protagonist that is perfect and not at all interesting.
He's a Mary Sue.
he is the Mary Sue.
Yeah.
And he literally walks on water. And so I just like watched this kid's face just drop, like kidding me. But then like we proceeded to like go into like, it's a fascinating course, but like, I like that he like laid all that out, you know, cause he's just like, I'm not, there's no pretense here. Like we're going to shred this stuff apart because the Bible is a compilation book written by many people over many centuries.
Yeah.
And it rips off from a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So in the same amazing. Way, I feel like guy. I'm looking at Vince Gilligan's picture and I'm like, you know what? I trust you just because you look like that.
Well, I don't know if this helps or hurts, but as of now, with 80 critical reviews, Pluribus sits at a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice. I hope that doesn't like fuck with them. I hope they don't feel like pressured to keep that, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. Like just like the 10 out of 10 for Ozymandias. Yeah,
just do what you're gonna do. Do what you're gonna do.
I don't think it's gonna. I really think Vince Gilligan's immune to that.
Yeah.
From everything I've seen,
people with the money immune to that.
Well, the first season's already shot.
True.
So he's, and they renewed it for two. He's probably already written it by now, and he probably has an idea of what's happening.
Yeah. I hope so.
I mean, he did with Breaking Bad. He knew it when it was time.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think this will go six seasons.
No.
But I don't think it should.
As long as he has an exit strategy, if he wants to like kind of like vamp for a little bit, give us some good bottle episodes like The Fly, I'm good with that. I just don't want it to bring up Game of Thrones again. I don't want it to like kind of luxuriate in this like really excellent writing and pacing and everything for like four seasons, and then it's like off to the races and it makes no sense at the fucking end.
Yeah. I mean, we know he can do it. Breaking Bad had such a slow build, we didn't even realize what was happening. So he can do it. And I think he wants to. And he said he'll keep going. But I think he does. I hope he has an end game.
I have a question about Westworld, because I feel like you would probably know this.
Sure.
Was more than season one of Westworld planned out? Or was it kind of season one was like, they're like, this is the story we're telling. And then they're like, holy shit, this is really successful. People love it. Let's do more.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it like, no, like they did have the full story that they wanted to tell that went beyond season one.
So yes and no. And what I mean by that is, yes, they had a plan and they had an end result, which is what makes me even angrier, is because we never got the finishing, which they wanted to do with season five. They wanted to finish it off.
They should make it a book or something. I don't know.
I think right now they're both holding out hope. Like, both of them are incredibly successful anyway, and they're doing really good shows. But I think they're holding out hope they'll get like picked up by Amazon or something. Because Amazon already made so much money off Jonathan Nolan with Fallout.
Yeah,
season one was great.
I didn't realize that was Jonathan Nolan.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Lisa Joy too, but it was definitely Jonathan Nolan. He loves Fallout. He was excited to make it. I mean, he made Westworld because he played Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
But that being said, they had an idea. What did end up screwing them over, and they've admitted it in interviews, is that they were upset when so many people on the subreddit figured out the twist of season one. That they had to make changes to season two to make it try harder to follow, so no one would figure out the twists and what's going on and what's the overall arching plot. So,
yeah.
And that's why season two kind of felt weird.
I like season two. It's fine.
Oh, like, listen,
season one is a perfect season of television.
Agreed.
Like, that's the problem.
Agreed.
It is a perfect season.
Agreed. It tells a complete story. It's great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I know they have an ending planned, and I think they were going to get there. It was just that, you know, when they got bought by Discovery, or Discovery and them merged, I was like, okay, this
disaster.
I know. And this was the most expensive show.
We're never going to get the Batgirl movie with Brendan Fraser's Firefly because of that. Like, come on, give that to me. I know. I just want to see it. I don't care if it's bad. It's Brendan Fraser in a fucking Batman adjacent movie. Give
right? that to me.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up. Yeah, so each season of Westworld costs $160 million.
Goddamn.
To be fair, it's like incredibly like,
yeah. No, worth it. But like, I don't know. It just feels like one of those things too. And there are three seasons that aired, right? Three was a lot. There are four. Okay. I don't know if I watched four. I think I watched three. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
The other issue is logistically getting that cast together to be able to do that.
That's very true.
And plus people are getting older.
True. Although I've said, I've heard everybody wants to. Like, Jeffrey Wright talks about it all the time.
Fucking love. Jeffrey Wright showed up. We were watching, I was at Natsu New Girl's house the other day.
Yeah.
It was like a Saturday afternoon. We woke up early, like on the morning, which we never do. Mm-hmm. We're sort of like chilling, doing like doodling and doing art on the couch. And we watched Game Night.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The movie like, I don't know, like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, Rachel McAdams.
Just like Jeffrey Wright just shows up and gets clocked like right off the bat. Yep. He's like laying on the floor for the entire movie. But I was just like, I was so happy to see him.
Yeah, fantastic. I've loved everything he's been in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, all of that to say this, let's ask the million-dollar question after I cough. Steve, start with you. Pluribus, binge-worthy, why or why not?
I'm going to give it like another episode.
Okay.
And I'm going to see where it goes. I don't know if it's binge-worthy because I don't know if it's just where it's going to lean.
Okay.
Too early to tell.
So episode two, I'll get an update from you next week.
Yep, yep.
Very good, very good. Sean, same question.
One, it's got me thinking, I should probably renew my Apple TV subscription, I guess. or just go out on the high seas and pull it.
That's fair.
Because like you, I want to watch the second episode. I think lately for me, the test, and especially Severance was like choice for this.
Yeah.
Which is Not So New Girl is not a sci-fi person.
Okay.
Not a dystopian person. And so I think that she could get into this.
Okay.
But if she can, like, I'm gonna slow play that and see.
Okay. But, what do you think will be your opinion of it?
So she didn't watch Breaking Bad. She watched a little bit of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Because of various things, unfortunately, has known a lot of people who've had meth problems.
Fair, yep.
So she's like, I don't know if I can do that. And I was just like, yeah, no, I respect that. In the same way that, like, I can't really watch legal TV shows because it just makes me angry.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, there's no way I'm going to be able to suspend my disbelief. But, like, one of the perks of being something that's sci-fi is... That you have to, like,
either
you're in or you're out. And that's the, like, if you're out, you're out. But, like, you know, if you can get into it. And Severance was just like that. I wasn't counting on getting into Severance, and she got just as into it as I did.
Awesome.
I think that'll go well. Plus, we're always looking for shows to watch. So, Love is blind. And it was putrid.
Yeah. Well, so. Hopefully this is a once a week thing. So, for the next 9 weeks, at least you got something. At least I'm gonna try to give it. I'll give it its first season. I'll probably stick it through.
Yeah, I feel like I owe Vince Gilligan that.
And you know what? I'm not turned off by the first episode. I liked it.
Yeah, I was like, "Where is this going?" My one concern was I'm gonna get bored. If I got bored, then it gets a little harder.
It's a death knell, right?
But I didn't feel bored. Matt just dematerialized.
Oh, sorry.
If you bent down and the filter was just like, you are gone.
Okay. What part lost you, just out of curiosity? Where you were starting to get like, oh no, what's going on?
Oh no. I was in the whole time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, just generally, like, if I get bored watching a show like that, then it's harder for me to pick it back up.
That's very fair.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like with Severance, and Severance had the perk of we binged season one right before season two came out.
Fair.
And so it was like the perfect, like,
you know, amount of time. Yeah.
The perfect drug. Yeah. But I think that with this, it'll be nice, you know, as long as I keep remembering to watch a TV show weekly, episodically, as opposed to just consuming it all in a night.
Very good. All right. That about wraps it up for this episode. Steve, final thoughts.
I don't have any this week. I'll have to.
Oh, Sean's got a final thought.
I've got one, and I would love. I'm going to give Max credit for this. He's deep asleep right now. I had to give him sleep gummies because he's doing standardized testing this week, so he's been going to bed early. He came up with this joke, and it took me a second to get it. It's a little bit of a thinker.
Okay.
But I would love to honor his joke and tell it to y'all. Which is he totally pulls this out of nowhere, right? Like, we're in the dining room sitting, we're having dinner, doing his homework or whatever. And he looks at me, and we hadn't even been joking around. He just looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Dad." I was like, "Yeah." "Have you ever known someone that had a concussion?" And I thought about it for a second. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I've had a concussion, not officially. So that's at least one. And I've known other people have gotten. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I've known someone who's had a concussion. He goes, neither have I. And I was just like, wait, what?
That's brilliant.
Like, oh my God, you're the concussed one. You're the concussed one. And he's like, ah. I was like, that is a great joke.
Well done, Max. That's really good.
Like, you just thought of that? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what?
Well done, sir. With that, everyone. Oh, that's the wrong one.
Whoa.
Jesus. All right, let's try that again. Maybe? No? How is that? Okay.
I think you need to mix this with, like, Benny Benassi.
Good night, everyone. Oh, my God. Well, I had only one other thing I wanted to talk about because you brought it up right at the end there. And I have one intriguing idea for you. And that's the only thing I had because I know we've already been on for, Jesus, 2.5 hours. Sean, so, you know, the Pitt's coming back in January. It's gotten like rave reviews. It's everywhere.
Not that bad.
No. And even medical professionals, like emergency medicine doctors, are calling it the most realistic, like, this is what happens. Almost like it is the closest thing to real life that any medical show has ever done.
Okay.
Do you think, A, that's possible in the legal world, and B, would you watch it? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, would I watch it? No.
Okay, fair enough.
There's an urgency to medicine that you don't get with the day-to-day legal profession. I'm not saying there's not an urgency or a stress there. There is.
Sure.
But it's like, yeah, it's just, it would be either so highbrow that most people, especially people who aren't lawyers, certainly, like, the general public at large would probably just completely check out of it.
Yeah.
Or it would be too unrealistic. And, like the timetable on things is often one of the issues I have with, like, suspending my disbelief on a legal show. It's like, no, like, that's, you have way longer to do stuff like that. Or, like, that's not how that works. Or it would take you way longer to do that. Or why the fuck are you looking at an actual case reporter book? No one's done that in 15 years. You go on the fucking internet, get on Lexis or Westlaw. That's not how it's done. So, like, why are we doing this? I will say the best, and I believe I even brought it way back when, at least 2.5 years ago, because it was one of the first things that Not So New Girl and I pitched together. Well, she had already seen it, was Jury Duty, which is a fake reality show, right?
It's, which, like, I love, yep.
You know, you're Joe Schmo. But, like, he was real. Like, and
yeah,
like, I feel like obviously the people are all crazy and the whole situation's ridiculous, but, like, honestly, that kind of got pretty close.
Okay.
At least in terms of how a trial is carried out. You know, obviously the experience for, like, a lawyer or a judge and that, you know, would be different, but
sure.
Why have you asked me this question, though? Because there is a new show, a new legal show that came out. And I don't know if you've heard of this. I don't even know what it's called. It was one of those moments. We just had dinner and we've been watching something on Hulu. We were watching the Murdaugh Murder show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. Anyways, it, like, the last episode had ended. And so they, like, Hulu, like, rolled into something else. And it was, like, episode 2 of this show that had just come out. And Not So New Girl looks at me and she's just like, I think we're going to watch this. And I was just like, I don't know what this is. And she's like, oh, you will. Oh, I'm like, all right, whatever. It is a, I don't want to call it a drama because I feel like this is all things a drama, but it's a legal drama, a scripted lawyer-based television show starring Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I was hoping, I was worried you'd say that.
Glenn Close. The lady who's in all of the FX shows whose name is escaping me at the moment.
Sarah Paulson?
Thank you, Sarah Paulson. And then there's like one other person who I recognize.
Naomi Watts.
Thank you, Naomi Watts. I'm not an angry person. But like,
you had to take two deep breaths for those playing the home game.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what Glenn Close did or what they have on her.
Yeah.
I'm very worried for her safety. Also, fucking Ed O'Neill is Glenn Close's husband who's like dying. So it's like every time you see him, he's like in bed, just like Ed O'Neilling. And you're just like, no. This is not how you go, Al Bundy. No. He's like, no, Glenn. It is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it is, they're supposed to be family lawyers, which like they're divorce lawyers. And it's just so bad. It's just so, so, so bad.
Yeah. Oh, of course it's Ryan Murphy.
I guess because he's got something on Sarah Paulson, clearly.
Yes.
But it also just feels like, Kim Kardashian was like, well, I guess I couldn't actually be a lawyer, so I'll just play one on TV. And her mom's one of the producers, so it's like the whole fucking Kardashian industrial complex is bankrolling it. And it's bad. I would watch it. I would tell you guys to watch it. and then you'll know.
Like, should we
take however you feel walking out of that and escalate it by, like, you know, multiply it by like 20, and that's how I feel.
Should we watch it next week? We don't have to.
You know what? Let me get some more edibles. And I will do it. I'll do it. I even watched the first episode. I guess like it had already, you know how Hulu like just kind of like autoplays stuff sometimes when you turn the TV off?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it did that. So we didn't watch the pilot. It was like the second episode, but it did fine.
So the juxtaposition, just so you know, we just watched what was considered a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you want to take a guess at where All's Fair, Kim Kardashian's lawyer vehicle, sits on Rotten Tomatoes?
I don't know, Matt. I can't divide by zero.
A big old 4.
I wonder how it got to 4%.
Disney publications and or Kardashian publications.
Don't talk together. It's so bad. Wow. I feel like Kanye would be better playing a lawyer than Kim Kardashian at this point.
Probably.
Yeah.
But on that note, I need to...
I got a pack before I'm supposed to leave on Thursday. I don't know if it's happening, but
good luck. I hope you can make it out of here with the FAA.
Yeah. You guys have a wonderful time. I will talk to you all, lovely people, next week.
Talk to y'all soon.
Later.
Good night.